And in the 20th, things did change, because in 1903, Mrs. Emmeline Pankhurst, who had been a member of various suffrage societies right through from the 1880s, founded a new society, the Women's Social and Political Union. This was founded in Manchester, and it drew members mainly from the women belonging to the Labour Party in Manchester, but it did then slowly attract some members of the local NUWSS society as well. And after her daughter Christabel and a mill girl, Annie Kenny, had created a rumpus at the Free Trade Hall in Manchester in October 1905, they hit the headlines. Christabel and Annie were arrested and they chose to go to prison rather than paying a fine. They were charged with obstruction and very minor offences, but a week in prison did wonders for the publicity. And they even made it onto the London Times the day that they went to prison. And when they came out, there was a banquet to celebrate this, again, well photographed and well reported. And at this time, they really were now a force to be reckoned with. And within a few months, they moved to London and set up headquarters just off the Strand in Clement's Inn. And they were joined by a wealthy philanthropic couple, Emmeline and Frederick Pethick Lawrence, who provided the money and the organisational skills. Mrs. Pankhurst and Christabel and another daughter, Sylvia, certainly had the oratorical skills, but the Pethick Lawrences were a good, steady influence and really gave direction to the campaign. And for the first couple of years when they were in London, there were arrests and there were more imprisonments, and the publicity was certainly engendered. And the NUWSS at first, under Millicent Fawcett, they didn't want to be seen to be antagonistic. And though they couldn't condone violence, they weren't prepared to condemn the WSPU. In fact, after the first lot of prisoners that had been arrested in London were let out of prison, Mrs. Fawcett actually organised a banquet for them at the Savoy. But after that, as militancy increased and there was stone throwing and just not drastic damage to property, but some, the NUWSS began to disassociate themselves with the WSPU, so that they were two distinct wings. They were the NUWSS, who were the suffragists, as they'd been known ever since 1866, the women writers at the beginning they were called, and then later suffragists. But the WSPU had been called by the Daily Mail the suffragettes in early 1906, and they'd adopted the name with pride. And so there were these two distinct wings. Nowadays, we perhaps tend to emphasise the difference in the nomenclature more than it was done at the time, because you'll find newspaper reports that refer to the WSPU members as suffragists, so it was sort of interchangeable. And the suffragettes, the WSPU, have really been much better remembered than the NUWSS, and really publicity that they created in those years before the First World War have lasted for 100 years. And the reason is that they were just so good at marketing their brand of the campaign. They were the first to adopt colours to identify the movement. They chose the colours purple, white and green. And the NUWSS quickly afterwards had their own colours of red, white and green. But it's the purple, white and green that is now remembered. And they had a motto, deeds not words, which was pithy and direct. And the NUWSS could never come up with words with such strong appeal. Theirs were all rather negative. They were non-militant, constitutional, non-militant, law-abiding, which didn't have perhaps the same appeal to young women who would be attracted to the campaign. And just generally, the WSPU marketing, with all the the goods that they developed to sell in their shops and the badges that they created and just the general fun and fanfares of and the personalities that were involved in it have lasted and travelled down through the generations, so they're very much better remembered. But the NUWSS was in many ways the more effective